In part one of this presentation, you were introduced to the major features of the new literacy spoken by all good info grazers and idea pickers. You also learned the grammar of this new literacy, visual space, visual progression, and visual differentiation. In part two, today you will learn to apply visual space, progression, and differentiation to your own writing so that you may remain in good standing as an idea picker and info grazer. First, let's briefly review visual SPD. Visual space refers to the white space between elements that sets them off as distinct chunks. The more white space, the more distinct is each chunk. Visual progression means providing a clear sequence to page elements with the tools of alignment, headings, and symbols such as numbers and bullets. And finally, visual differentiation, which is the application of formatting tools like color and size to provide contrast, further delineating each chunk. To illustrate these tools, let's take a look at a typical magazine. This is a custom health publication that you'll find in your doctor's office all over the United States. Let's look at a typical article and examine how the grammar of visual space, visual progression, and visual differentiation are used. Here's the opening two-page spread of a feature article. Spread is jargon for the use of adjacent pages. Let's look first for the points of entry. Entry points are individual elements that the reader can focus on. They are teases that entice the reader to linger and to sample the article instead of flipping the page. Let's count the entry points for no more excuses. You see a flower by itself, point of entry. You see the main title, No More Excuses, done in a decorative font, point of entry. Then the subtitle, Get Over Yourself and Get to the Doctor, done in another font and a different type color, point of entry. The byline, another font and color, point of entry. Finally, set off by green rules, a block of text, a point of entry. Then there's the three-line drop cap for the W, done in that same decorative style, point of entry. The block of text itself is only 72 words. This is all the linear text that you will find on the entire two pages. If you look at Vigor circulation, you'd calculate that each page in this magazine cost about $25,000 to produce. That's with all the labor, the overhead, the printing, the editors, the everything. Each page, $25,000. Now ask yourself, why an editor would choose to put only 72 words on a $50,000 piece of real estate? Get the answer, and you will understand how significant this new literacy is. On the left-hand page, we have even more points of entry. Certainly, the full-page, full-color illustration of the woman is the dominant point of entry in this page, and I will venture to guess that the editor paid more for that illustration than for the text. But each of the phrases and sentences are also points of entry. So busy, I don't have time, tests are painful, and so on. All points of entry. So, how many points of entry do we have on these two pages? No less than 15. 15 opportunities to catch the reader's eye and get them to stay. An invitation that was engraved visually, graphically, not literally. Turn the page and the visual feast continues. First, we see visual progression in the form of a numbered list, 1, 2, 3, 4, with each number visually differentiated by its color, size, funky font, and horizontal placement. But look closer. Each patch of text under the numbers is again divided into excuse and rebuttal, excuse and rebuttal. More visual progression as well as visual difference provided by the font used for the words excuse or rebuttal and their larger size. Next, notice the generous use of white space to surround each of these points of entry, making them stand out as a separate, bite-sized chunk. Again, let's count the points of entry. To the four numbers, add each flower as a point of entry, as is the illustration of the book and pencil. The pull quote is a point of entry, clearly set off by the white space around it, the different font, the type size, and the color. The tip box is a distinct entry point, divided into two more points of entry with the title, How to Relax in the Waiting Room, and then the information underneath it. 126 words set off in a different font and color. Next to it is another tip box and point of entry, but this one is set off entirely by white space, and it reverses the green-black combination for heading and text. The largest entry point is the illustration of the man on the couch prior to the entering the exam room. Don't miss the word relax and the flower stuck in his pocket. Two more entry points. Why so many entry points? So you'll stay, maybe even read a little. During this analysis, we've also seen how chunks are arranged according to that visual grammar, coordinated by space, progression, differentiation, and used along with the text to create the entire experience, an event that consists of far more than the simple decoding of words. Are we looking at a document here, or at a painting? Or is it something in between, a hybrid created by the new literacy? Now, this next example is from Fortune for Small Businesses, and it's a one-page feature article, but it has no running text. Instead, there's only a series of headings with brief bursts of text after each heading. The entire message of the article is conveyed by the title, Opportunity Uncorked, accompanied by the image of the young man holding a bunch of grapes with the endless horizon of opportunity spreading behind him. The remarkable thing about this feature is that the image and headline are more important to the article's message than the text. The text here functions as support, a mere adjunct to the real communication that is taking place visually. Let's delete all the text on the right side, leaving only the title, deck, and image. Now you see the essence of this article. The editor of this article clearly does not expect the reader to read much of the text, if any at all, and you'll find out why in just a moment. Now, this next example is called an Around the World article because it can be read in any direction. Again, there are no continuous paragraphs. You can find out as much or as little as you wish about a gaffer by picking and choosing the different elements that you want to read in the order that you want to read them. Linear reading of a page, line by line, left to right, top to bottom, an essential skill of traditional literacy, it is essentially gone in this article. Matter of fact, several major features of traditional literacy have been substantially altered in these new texts that employ the new literacy. Let's take a look at them. First, the logical connection between elements. In traditional text, those connections are controlled primarily by the author with the use of organizational patterns and devices of coherence. It was your job, the reader's job, to find and understand those connections using your highly developed reading skills. However, in new text, the connections between the parts are merely suggested. The reader is free to put together the parts of a new text in any way that satisfies his or her needs. New texts invite the customization of meaning rather than attempting to limit that meaning. Next, processing. This is the act of understanding, decoding, bringing it in, and it also has been changed. Traditional texts rely upon linear, word-for-word decoding. However, in new text, this processing can be linear, it can be non-linear, and it can also be strategic. In other words, the reader, the viewer, is invited to employ any number of decoding strategies depending upon the one that best meets his or her needs, time, and familiarity with the subject. One of the first formal studies to document these kinds of changes was done by the Poynter Institute in 1991. The name of the study was called Eyes on the News. And as you can see, the subject was rigged to a machine that tracked eye movements and then reported those eye movements to a computer. And the computer, in turn, recorded where the eyes went, how long they stayed there, and what, if anything, they read in that document. And the survey says 90% of readers enter a page via the artwork or titles. Now, that goes back to what we were talking about regarding the importance of providing multiple entry points to the reader. The study also found that adding visual elements to a text triples the likelihood that the text will be read. So the study found that you, the writer, can help the reader recall the information and to understand it better by adding infographics or other visual elements. Any technique with that much promise to increase your effectiveness should be of an intense interest to you. This next set of results reaffirms a point we've already made about the new literacy, the incredible shrinking text. These numbers are sobering at best. 80% of readers are aware of artwork. 75% of readers are aware of photographs. 56% were aware of the headlines. 25% looked at the text. And the really bad news, only 13% actually bothered reading an article's text. The incredible shrinking article. Clearly, this study and others like it have reversed the traditional notion of the importance of text in today's documents. Now you see why that editor of Vigor chose to put only 72 words on a page or pages costing $50,000. Or why the Fortune editor designed a, quote, article that was essentially without words. Were they using their money and resources wisely? Yes, they were. They were creating documents for the new literacy. Another famous study comes from the godfather of usability on the web, Jacob Nielsen. In his study measuring the effect of improved web writing, Nielsen looked at the readability of four different ways of saying the same thing. Now, here in the top section, you have the basic information that was presented about tourist attractions in Nebraska. But this same set of facts was presented in three more different ways, each one giving different results. By taking the same text and simply changing its layout to a chunked style without changing any words, there was a 47% increase in readability. But taking that same text and simply reducing the number of words without changing the layout resulted in a 50% increase in readability, indicating how important those two elements are, the visual style plus the spare style. Now, this last one. When the scannable layout was combined with the concise text, readability was increased by 124%. Is it any surprise, given the prevalence and the importance of these changes, that new businesses are being created around them? These are indeed important business opportunities. One business that I'd like to focus on just briefly is called InformationMapping.com. As its name implies, the company teaches writers how to transform a typical memo like this one, and it is well written. There are your short block paragraphs, all done according to traditional, conventional rules of text print literacy. But what if you could redesign the same words and dramatically increased the number of people who read the memo in its entirety, who understood what they read at a strong or 80% level, and, most important, if you could increase the likelihood those people would take the effective required action. Now, here is InfoMap's version of the same memo. Notice that it provides a case study in the use of visual space, progression, and differentiation. Chunks are created by the clearly written headings, problem, effect, possible solution, next step. Visual space is indicated by the rules or lines between each of those sections. Look at the clear visual progression throughout the memo, even contained in the nested list at the bottom that is within this larger list. List within list. Whenever InfoMapping.com reveals its studies that show that the version on the right leads to 47% higher compliance, believe me, potential clients want to know more. So, why is this happening? Why are these changes taking place? The answer today is the same as it's been throughout history. Changes in literacy always follow changes in technology used for the literacy. Whether it is the berry juice of the Paleolithic drawings on the cave at Altamira, or the reed stylus pressed into a slab of beeswax to produce the cuneiform of the ancient Sumerians, as it was in the scribal age when literacy was confined to monasteries and manuscripts were handwritten, or whether it was the first typewriters in the era of hot lead, the printing press, so it is today in the era of cold lead, known as the digital age. The answer is always the same. Technology and literacy are two sides of the same coin. Change one and you change the other. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Neither one. They're the same thing. Which changes more, technology or literacy? Neither one. They're the same thing. The sweeping changes of digital technology have created this need for the new literacy and the employment of the features of this new literacy in the documents that you will be expected to produce. So, let's summarize this new document literacy as presented in this presentation. First, delete it. After you've written a document, go back and delete every possible word that you can. Use as few words as possible. In today's world, write less, not more. And delete it doesn't mean just cutting out unneeded words and tightening phrases. It also means identifying those things that you can say visually so that you no longer need the words. Two, chunk it means looking at all of the information that you wish to convey and finding ways to divide it up into discrete units that could stand by themselves. And then three, once you've identified those chunks, design it. Use the tools of visual space, visual progression, and visual differentiation to arrange those chunks so that they have a unity of effect and provide your reader with the multiple points of entry and the flexibility to use their strategic reading skills of the new literacy. And after you've done that, step back and welcome yourself to the revolution.